Sayam Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parivajakacharya, Astachara Satyasri, Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vas, Adi Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sunda, Gopa Gopinath, Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tosi Maharani Ki Jai, Sama Veda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 16, text number 39, today's text 39. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namastubhyam Bhagavate.
Namastubhyam Bhagavate.
Purushaya Mahatmane.
Purushaya Mahatmane.
Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Paraya Paramatmane.
Paraya
Paramatmane. Namastubhyam Bhagavate. Purushaya Mahatmane. Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Paraya Paramatmane. Now, according to the purport, everybody should chant this verse. So give it a try, okay? It's right there in the purport. We'll get to that in a minute. But in the meantime, take advantage of and please chant.
Namastubhyam Bhagavate.
Purushaya Mahatmane. Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Paraya Paramatmane. Namastubhyam Bhagavate. Purushaya Mahatmane. Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Paraya Paramatmane. Namastubhyam Bhagavate. Purushaya Mahatmane. Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Paraya Paramatmane. Namastubhyam Bhagavate. Purushaya Mahatmane. Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Parayatma Paramatmane. Ladies, it's your turn. Namastubhyam Bhagavate. Purushaya Mahatmane. Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Paraya Paramatmane. Namastubhyam Bhagavate. Purushaya Mahatmane. Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Paraya Paramatmane.
Namastubhyam Bhagavate.
Purushaya Mahatmane.
Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Paraya Paramatmane. Go ahead. Namastubhyam Bhagavate. Purushaya Mahatmane. Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Paraya Paramatmane. Namastubhyam Bhagavate. Purushaya Mahatmane. Bhutavasaya Bhutaya. Paraya Paramatmane.
Thank you very much. Namaha. Obeisances. Tubhyam. To you. Bhagavate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purushaya. Who are present within as the Supersoul. Mahatmane. Who are all pervasive. Bhuta Avasaya. Who are the shelter of the material elements. Beginning with the ethereal sky. Bhutaya. Who exist even prior to the creation. Paraya. To the supreme cause. Paramatmane, who are beyond all material cause. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. We offer our obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although present in the hearts of all living beings as the Supersoul, you are all pervasive. Although the original shelter of all created material elements, you exist prior to their creation. And although the cause of everything, you are transcendental to all material cause and effect, being the Supreme Soul. Let's say that together all at once, okay? We offer our obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although present in the hearts of all living beings as a Supersoul, you are all pervasive. Although the original shelter of all created material elements, you exist prior to their creation. And although the cause of everything, you are transcendental to all material cause and effect, being the Supreme Soul. And here's the purport. The beautiful Sanskrit poetry of this verse should be chanted out loud for the transcendental pleasure of the reciter and the hearer. Om Agnati Mirandasya Janajana Salakaya Chakshur Umilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So thanks for participating. Now we know the class will be auspicious since you already chanted the verse, which was so auspicious in and of itself. So we're continuing here in this chapter, Krishna chastising the serpent Kaliya, and here are a continuation of the prayers of the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya. In the previous verses, their prayers were glorifying some of Krishna's qualities, and Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that from this verse onward for the next 10 verses, they're offering their respectful obeisances with the word Namaha. So they offer their obeisances 11 times, in case you want to count. In the next 10 verses, they're offering their obeisances 11 times to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in response to his mercifully chastising Kaliya by placing his lotus foot on his very apparently sinful head and purifying him to the point of bringing him to such a point of distress, practically taking his life, that in that point of distress, finally it awakens within him that this personality is someone so great. He's that supreme person that my good wives were telling me about, that previously I wasn't giving him any importance and thinking that I'm not going to surrender to him. Now I see he's that supreme personality of Godhead. And I want to offer my obeisances to him. I want to surrender to him. And when Kaliya's wives could see that change of heart, which was apparent on his face, then they changed their heart. Because in the beginning, they were thinking, let this serpent die. Let him die for his offenses to the Lord. But then when he changed his attitude, their hearts also softened towards him. So this verse, every single word in this verse has many, many meanings and a great, long understand. Lots of verses contain these words. Actually, even before I say that, in this verse 37, that was Tamaharprabhu covered on Friday, he had three verses. So verse 37 was, Nanaka Prishtam Nasava Sar Nachasarva Bomam Naparameshyam Narasadipatyam Na Yoga Siddhir Apunabhavamva Vachanti Yat Pada Raja Prapana. That verse, I'll read the translation. Those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet never hanker for the kinship of heaven, limitless sovereignty, the position of Brahma or rulership over the earth. They are not interested even in the perfection of yoga or in liberation itself. That verse is almost practically identical in the sixth canto. Sixth canto, chapter 11, verse 25. Same three, first three lines are practically the same. Nanata pristam cha nasarvi patyam. Anyway, that's in that time it's chanted by Vritrasura. Vritrasura is expressing the same sentiments there, how now that he's got a taste for devotional service, or he had one from his previous life as Chitraketu, that not interested in anything, not lording it over any of the planets, nor high positions, nor low positions, nor yogic power, nor anything. All he wants is devotional service to the Lord. So in this verse, in the first line of today's verse, verse 39, the Nagapatnis are offering their obeisances to whom? To Bhagavate. Namastubhyam Bhagavate. Bhagavan, the supreme personality. Bhagavan. So in Vishnu Purana, there's a verse that says all the qualities of the supreme Lord. Aishvaryasya samagrasya virhayayas yasa shriya jnana vairagya so chaiva sanam bhagya itananu. If I copied it right, sorry, I had to copy it. But those are the six opulences of the Supreme Lord that we're quite familiar with. All wealth, all beauty, strength, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. So that is characteristic of Bhagavan. Bhagavan, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he has all of those quotencies in full, unlimited. Now there are many other forms of the Lord, Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, Lord Ramachandra, Nrsingadev, so many unlimited other forms of the Lord who are also Bhagavan, and they also have those qualities, but they don't have them as full as Krishna. So the living entities, the minute living entities, the jivas, they also have those qualities, but in a very minuscule, tiny, microscopic amount. And some, like beauty, might be totally missing in some people. Or intelligence even could be quite down. But anyway, whatever. So they have a little bit. They have a little. But they can actually have up to, like when Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Srila Rupa Goswami explains the 64 qualities of the Lord, so the living entity can have up to 50 of those qualities in varying amounts. And then past that, those next five qualities, the next five qualities are present in personalities, great personalities like Lord Shiva or Brahma too, Brahma. And then the next five qualities, so up to 60 qualities of Krishna, are present in Narayan. But then Krishna has those four special qualities. Can anyone tell me what they are? Those four qualities of Krishna, Madan Mohan, that are unique to him, that no one else has? You should. Save everyone else the anxiety. I mean, the opportunity. Plays his flute. Surrounded by devotees with supermost excellent loving qualities. That's three out of four. Okay. Madhumati. Form. Lila, Rupa, form. And pastimes. Yeah, and his unique, his loving pastimes. So these Nagapatnis, they're offering their obeisances to Bhagavan, who possesses all of those qualities in full, unlimited. And it's interesting to note how they had so much transcendental knowledge that they understood that this form that they were seeing at present before their eyes was a small childlike form, obviously manifesting some special potencies, but at the same time, not at that time manifesting all his potencies. He was simply manifesting a potency that he could dance on a moving surface and subdue Kaliya, who was a quite powerful demon. But at the same time, of all the potencies of the Lord, it was just a little exhibition. And still they could understand, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Bhagavan. So also sometimes we hear throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, other great personalities, Indra, this one, that one, they're addressed as Bhagavan, but obviously they have many great exalted qualities, but nowhere near the qualities of Krishna. So they're offering their obeisances. Namastubhyam Bhagavate, to the Supreme Lord. Then they say, Purushaya, that you, the word Purushaya, who are present within as the Supersoul, he's present before their eyes, dancing on their heads of their supposed husband. And then also, he's present within as the Supersoul. Now, Krishna confirms that in Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Where is that? Okay, well, anyway, 10.8. He's Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matat Sarvam Prabhatate. Oh, that was to the other one. That was to that he's the Supreme Person. Iti Madhva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvita. The Lord, the Supreme Lord, is the original source of all emanations, and everything that's created, maintained, and annihilated exists by the energy of the Lord. Any sane person who knows this is actually learned and therefore becomes a pure devotee. But also in Bhagavad Gita in 15.15, that's the one that I wanted to say, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishcho Matat Smritya Gyanam Apohanam Cha Vedais cha savar aham eva vedya vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. He says, I'm situated in everyone's heart, and from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So that knowledge is coming from the Lord and recorded by the devotees, assimilated by the devotees, and explained in the Vedas, and in so many ways disseminated that perfect knowledge about the Lord. But at the same time, that all-pervasive Lord, and that's what they're doing there, contrasting his qualities. So he's situated within the heart of every living entity, not just every human entity, but every living entity, because they're obviously Kaliya. He's in Kaliya's heart, and Kaliya hasn't, at this present time, he's not manifesting a human form. He's in their heart, and although sometimes they're depicted as, who was it that was, the person who was giving class the last time was saying how, it was Trivikram Prabhu, was questioning how they could have hands or something. Anyway, so even though they're in snake bodies, they're understanding Krishna's in the heart of every living entity. And that knowledge, remembrance, or even the chance to forget him is given by him alone. And they're glorifying that quality, that he's in the heart of every living entity, Purushaya, but he's also Maha Atmane, he's all pervasive. He's all pervasive and all he's expanding everywhere. Even if you remember when we had the class on the marks of Krishna's lotus feet, he has two concentric circles on one of his foot, and that is a symbol that he's all pervasive like the sky, and yet he's situated separately. He's separate. He's all pervasive, and at the same time he has his personal existence elsewhere. He doesn't lose his personality by spreading everywhere. He doesn't lose his personality by being manifested in the heart of every living entity. He's manifested in the heart of every living entity. He's all pervasive, and still what? He has his personal abode, his pastimes, his entourage, his paraphernalia, his activities, and all of that, which is his pleasure. That's his pleasure potency. All the other creation, maintenance, this and that, are done by expansions, minor expansions or empowered personalities. And he's off playing his flute and enjoying with his friends. So there are many verses and to explain how Krishna is all pervasive. And then there's another verse here. Bhuta avashaya, who's present, who are the shelter of the material elements, beginning with the ethereal sky. But Bhutaya, he exists even prior to the creation. So those two words reminded me of the Chatur Shloki verses, where the Lord says exactly that himself to Lord Brahma. He's explaining in the second canto, ninth chapter, verse 33. He says, Aham evasam evagre nan yad yat sat asat param paschat aham yat etat cha yo vaishishyeta so smyaham vasishyeta. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation when there was nothing but myself, nor was there any material nature. Material nature, the cause of creation, didn't even exist. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So this is a very, these verses, known as the seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is what was revealed. The Lord said this. He revealed this information directly to Lord Brahma after Lord Brahma performed 1,000 years of tapasya to understand his position when he woke up one day. And there he was on the lotus, and he couldn't figure out who he was or where he was or what his duty was. And simply by hearing, and then when he climbed down the lotus and tried to find out the source of his creation, what's the source? He couldn't even find the source of his creation. So you can't find the source of the creation by your own endeavor. That's the point of that. You can't find that by your own endeavor. But it was revealed to Brahma by the Lord after he heard the two syllables, ta-pa, and twice, ta-pa, he heard it twice. And just by hearing that, he was so qualified that he could understand this means tapasya and that I need to execute this tapasya in order to find out what's going on. So after doing that for 1,000 celestial years, tapasya, controlling his mind and senses, the Lord came to him and shook his hand and said, I'm very pleased with you. And he told him these four verses, which I'm going to repeat one after the other, these four verses starting with this verse. And he said, it is I who was existing before the creation. Because sometimes so this question came up in this part of the Bhagavatam, the second canto, when Narada was one of the first 10 sons of Brahma. Narada actually is considering that Brahma could possibly be the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he's seeing him as the all-powerful creator. So Narada is asking Brahma, are you really the creator? Because I see he has a doubt that Brahma might not be the all-powerful creator, because even though he sees him very powerful and creating. Still, Brahma's what? Meditating. He's meditating. So why is he meditating if he's the all-powerful personality? So on that doubt, Narada approaches Brahma and asks him, are you the Supreme Person? So again, so that's a little bit of information so that helps why Krishna is giving such a definitive explanation on the powers of the Supreme Lord. Yeah, I'm the Supreme Lord, and I existed before the creation. Before there were even material elements, I existed. And you know what else? After the annihilation of this world, I'm still going to exist. He tells him all of that. It's really, he tells him, gives him a complete understanding, because otherwise with our limited knowledge, we might be satisfied with a smaller Bhagavan, a smaller personality, someone who doesn't have all of those qualities. So he goes on to tell you, he goes on to say, and I'll read the next one. If I can find my words in order, page 2, page 4. I said to myself, after I wrote so many verses down, and I said, I'm going to read all the verses that are written down, because sometimes you skip over them. Okay, so anyway, second verse, let's see if I get the second verse. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. So that has to do with our verse today, because Krishna is the shelter. He exists prior to their creation. He's the shelter, but he exists, but he's not part of the creation. And then the last sentence of today's verse. And although the cause of everything, you are transcendental to all material cause and effect, being the Supreme Soul. So now again, back to the Chaturshloki verse, second verse of Chaturshloki, verse 35. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos, and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. And then the last verse of the Chaturshloki is, where did it go? Okay, sorry. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. Must search for it up to this, to know that Krishna is the all-pervasive person, that he's the shelter of all the elements, yet at the same time he existed before the elements were created, and at the same time he exists within the heart of every living entity, and at the same time he's separate from all of that. He's a person, he's the Supreme Person, and he's separate from all of these previous statements, and has his own abode and his own activities. And a person, the Lord is saying, a person must search for this up to this point, to know that Krishna. So this is like in the Bhagavatam, it explains that there are three phases of understanding the Supreme Truth. There's Brahman realization, to know that the Lord's all pervasive. There's Paramatma realization, to know that the Lord is within the heart of every living entity. But there's Bhagavan realization. That's the highest realization, which is inclusive of the previous stages of the other two stages, to understand that the Lord is that Supreme Person. Now, it's interesting to see how being in the heart of all living entities at all times, so not just obviously the human form of life, because the soul has transmigrated from various species millions of times, all 8,400,000 species, that soul has traversed the whole span of them to get to this human form of life. And now at this human form of life, the Lord is accompanied the living entity through all of those bodies, embodiments, through all of the miseries of transmigration of all the different bodies. Finally, now that the living entity is in the human form of life, he's there as a super soul. And what's he doing? He's listening. He's listening to the prayers, to the motivation, to the desires of the living entity. He's waiting, When will they turn towards me? Will they turn towards me? Will they stop, as the example of the two given in Bhagavad Gita, of the two birds eating, you know, the soul and the super soul in the same tree? So the two birds, the living entities, eating the fruits. He's eating the fruits. Some of the fruits that he eats are very sweet and bring him great happiness. But unfortunately, not all the fruits of his activities bring him happiness. Some bring him quite lemon fruits, bitter, sour, distress. So the super soul is just there waiting for the living entity to turn his face, his attention, turn his attention somehow to the Supreme Lord, to him, in some way. And so not every living entity turns their face to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, right away. But they'll turn their face and they'll look for some form of God or some, they might be here from some holy person, and they might get some direction, proper direction. They'll turn a little bit. They'll get proper direction. They'll turn a little bit more. They'll get more direct. And then they'll finally, just like in the case of Kaliya, he didn't turn his face to the Supreme Lord or his mind or his consciousness to the Supreme Lord till he had the opportunity, the rare opportunity per se it is. It was rare that the living entity gets personal lotus foot of the Lord stomped on their head, not just once, but many times. And finally, after many times of his lotus foot on his head, he could turn his attention a little bit to the Supreme Lord. So that was Kaliya's mercy, Kaliya's opportunity, Kaliya's special opportunity that he got. All the living entities, but we shouldn't think, that's happened to him and it's not going to happen to me. No, that opportunity is there for each one of us also. Because Krishna's there in the heart. He's living, he's listening, he's hearing the desires. He's hearing the attempt, the struggle that we make to perform our devotional service. He's witnessing that, and he's giving facility according to the desires. So we see in our day-to-day life that by the causeless mercy of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, we've gotten the opportunity to perform somewhat this practice of devotional service. And oftentimes you hear, because of our simultaneous responsibilities on the material side, maintaining the house and the family, the this and the that, oftentimes the desire, we have a desire to do service, but sometimes all the opportunity isn't always there. The opportunity is there, but the ability to do it isn't always there. Like, there is so much responsibility, earning money, maintaining, thinking, or forgetting. What are you saying, Odin? What's your hint? Okay, thanks. We'll get there. Thank you. Modan's giving me little hints in the back what to say next. I really appreciate it. Thank you. But sometimes I'm not able to read all your hints. That's okay. Just yesterday, one exchange I had at the Sunday feast with one god sister. I said, "How are you?" She said, "I'm fine, but I'm just regretting that I'm not doing anything for Srila Prabhupada." And here she is, such a nice devotee, giving classes, giving online classes, doing this, doing that, chanting millions of rounds, taking care of her deities, doing this and that. And what's her hankering? I'm not doing enough. So sometimes we feel that in our life. You know, someone's running around to the utmost degree trying to take care of the three kids and the this and the that and feed the husband and do the this and the that. And you think, oh, but I'm not doing anything for Krishna. But actually Krishna's there. That was my point. Krishna's there in the heart, and he's hearing our struggles, and he's hearing our desires, and he's fulfilling those desires. So, so we should try to take advantage of that by remembering, thanks, by remembering the Lord as much as we can, and offering prayers at any time and every time of the day. Offer those prayers, and the Lord will hear those prayers. It might be when I was reading these Chaturshloki verses, Srila Prabhupada in the purport has included many, many slokas from many places all around. So one of the slokas that he included was a verse from the Garuda Purana. So I wanted to read that one to you. Kiti pakshi mriganam cha harau san yasta chetasam urdvam eva gatim man ye kim punar janinam rinam. So in case you wonder, how is it that snake could be qualified, or how is it that they could be qualified to perform devotional service or anything? So this verse in the Garuda Purana confirms that it's possible, because here's what it says, that verse says, even the worms, birds, and beasts are assured of elevation to the highest perfection of life if they are completely surrendered to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So what to speak of the philosophers amongst the human beings? So there in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, therefore, there is no need to seek properly qualified candidates for discharging devotional service to the Lord. Let them be either well-behaved or ill-trained. Let them be either learned or fools. Let them be either grossly attached or in the renounced order of life. Let them be liberated souls or desirous of salvation. Let them be inexpert in discharging of devotional service or expert in the same. All of them can be elevated to the supreme position by discharging devotional service under the proper guidance. It's just so encouraging. Srila Prabhupada's always encouraging us, because the mind is always trying to do its duty of discouraging us, pulling us down, thinking these high goals that we've heard from Srimad Bhagavatam of devotional service, of always remembering Krishna, these great qualities of never finding fault with others, so many things. They're so far beyond my ability to attain. But here we've got the assurance, even from Srila Prabhupada, even from the Garuda Purana, that no, all of these things are possible for someone who takes to the process. It's all possible. And even I was thinking of how is it that these Nagapatnis, how is it that they could come and offer such beautiful, transcendentally realized, highly elevated prayers that we are going through with our little microscope, verse after verse, you know, studying the prayers of the Nagapatnis. How is it that they became so elevated in such a position as wives of Kali, even as wives of Kaliya? That opportunity was not, it was offered to them, even they had that unfortunate association with Kaliya in his demoniac time. So I was thinking, in relation again to these Chatur Shloki verses, before the Lord speaks those four verses to Lord Brahma, he says one introductory verse, which gives him the blessing, gives Brahma the blessing to understand him. So that verse is text 32, chapter 9. Yavan aham yata bhavo yadrupa guna karmaka tataiva tatva vijnana, vijnana, not just jnana, vijnana, realized knowledge. Astute mad anugrahat, my mercy, mad anugrahat. So the Lord says, all of me, namely my actual eternal form, my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities, let it all be awakened within you by factual realization, by my causeless mercy. So Krishna is giving his causeless mercy to the living entities and allowing them to understand him. He's revealing himself, and he's giving the mercy. He can reveal himself. That's very kind mercy. But he also has to give us the mercy so that we can understand. He's revealing himself, but also we need to pray for his mercy so that we can understand the mercy that he's giving us. Otherwise, on our own endeavor, it's out of the question. It's out of the question. It's not possible. When you consider, just like we were in the beginning of class talking about the 64 qualities of Krishna, or his six opulences of Bhagavan, he has them in full. And then when you think of what the living entity has, their position, how tiny in comparison to that, how would that tiny brain or tiny intelligence, a tiny endeavor, how can that little jiva understand those things? It's not possible. It can, the living entity can understand when he receives the mercy of the Lord. So how is it that one receives the mercy of the Lord? That's what we're looking for here. We've received the mercy of the Lord by Srila Prabhupada's grace. And now we need to continue the practice and with that prayer in the heart to continually shower us with that mercy. And then gradually, consciousness will be elevated and enlightened by his causeless mercy. I think I covered all the verses. Not quite, but anyway. Well, I have still a few more. They were Brahma Samhita verses, but, you know, Haribol, we can say them another day. Any comments or questions? Our great commentator Prabhu in persona is not here, so we get to make all the comments we want. Haribol.
I just want to ask you quickly, why twice tapa?
Excuse me now, why?
Why twice?
Don't know.
It's the first time I'd heard it this morning. I mean, I'd always heard that there was tapa, but I didn't hear it twice.
I don't know. We have to ask Prabhu when he comes back. Do you have any? Yeah, I don't know. Tapa. Adamati, oh great sage.
I was wondering why not three times.
Don't know. Sesha Prabhu, any thoughts on that? Can you remember if I am remembering correctly? Because maybe it meant twice, meaning ta pa was twice. But I was thinking it was ta pa was twice. But anyway, probably has something, I don't know. Anything else? Anyway, Madan Mohan Prabhu?
Just in that nutshell verse that you quoted, one who's searching out after the absolute truth, I found it quite interesting in the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on that verse. He mentions the etavad is the up to this, and he there makes the distinction saying it's up to prema.
Prema,
Yes, so that, and the directly and indirectly, the directly is your sadhana, prema sadhana that we're following. That's how we're searching it out directly. And indirectly was the prohibitions about the things that you're not to do.
Oh, how interesting.
So there's some things that we search it out up to this to say no to.
Thank you. And by doing the sadhana, following the... Okay, here's... Smartavya, thank you, Krishna. Smartavya satatam vishnu vish smartavya najatu chrit sarva vidhi nisedha shur eight. Sorry, it's a little vague there. But anyway, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when Srila Rupa Goswami is telling all the rules and regulations that you have to follow in order to perform your sadhana properly, he explains right off the bat that there's two rules, the primary two rules. The first one is always remember Krishna. And the second one is never forget him. And if you remember all those the vidhis are the prohibition, the rules, initiate. Yeah, the vidhis are the rules, and the nisheda are the prohibitions. If you remember all those rules and prohibitions, no, if you remember this, always remembering Krishna, then all the rules and prohibitions are covered by that. And that. And so by following the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, up to what? Up to prema, then everything's okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your attention and your participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.